So I just have to cry foul. Because, you know, that the call to worship, what a beautiful passage, you know, this idea that we will make our joyful renderings to the Lord, we will play our instruments, we will celebrate God with music, with the lyre and with the trombone, and we're excited about being with God today. And then Janet gets that beautiful passage of God's power in the midst of us and God's calling to community, this image of the nation being made whole again and to celebrate the redemption of the Lord. And we get this just stunningly beautiful passage that Janet just read to us about the lion and the cow eating straw together and the snake. It's going to continue to eat dust, because in this new Eden where that God is bringing forth for us, there's not going to be the serpent who will be the tempter who will bring us to eat of the knowledge of judgment that will then cause us to build walls against one another and push us again out of Eden. This beautiful passage, and so I've got these. They're so cool. And then look what I get stuck with. Not complaining or anything, just saying. So when some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. They will all be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said to them, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, and they will say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places there will be famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish, for your endurance will gain your souls." Let us pray. So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. So it seems an unfair passage after those two beautiful and kind of friendly passages of what's happening. And then we get this other message. When Luke is writing his gospel, he's on the other side of 70 AD when the Romans have come in and have destroyed the temple, torn down the wall of the city, destroyed the temple. They kind of let this little nation know how little and insignificant they were. So Luke's writing from that perspective, but he's remembering these words of Jesus that absolutely resonate with the time in which he's living. He remembers these, and he remembers that, you know, all of these horrible things that are happening is not really what it's all about. You know, and sometimes I wonder, we were talking about this in class this morning, about, you know, I can see horrible things happening in the world around us today. There seem to be more wars than I can count, or at least places where people despise one another and they bring violence to one another, and it's happening in nations all over the world. A big report this morning in the paper about some documents leaked in China about the intentional abuse and incarceration and devastation of Muslim people from within China, and so you know, so it's happening in China, and it's happening in California, where some kid comes into school with a firearm and shoots some people, and it's certainly happening in Syria, and it's happening in Turkey, and it's happening to Kurdish people, and it's happening in Yemen, and I, you know, if I want to spend a little time, I could go around the world and I could talk about all these places where there's this amazing unrest, from Hong Kong to Bolivia, and just the fact that the world right now, yeah, there are wars, there are rumors of wars, there's like bad news happening everywhere, and sometimes I just want to put on a helmet, crawl under the table, wrap myself in a blanket, and wait for it to go away, that I feel overwhelmed sometimes by what I'm receiving in the midst of my life, having to do with the complications in the world in which we live. And yeah, there will be wars and rumors of wars, there will be earthquakes, there will be great floods and fires and famines and pestilence, and yeah, we're living that time. But you know, they were living that time in the 1970s in Cambodia. They were living that time in the 1990s in Rwanda. They were living that time in the early years of this century in Congo. We have, as a people, been living the lives of people rising up against people and making war and trying to stifle what others believe through our ability to produce violence. And I could go back through history and I could talk about so many instances that it kind of seems like, well, what is Jesus talking about in this moment? But when he talks about, when Jesus says, so the time's coming where they're going to grab you and they're going to bring you first to the synagogue, first to the church. First to the church, and then to the kings, and then to the governors. In first century Palestine, you had some major parts of religious community, even the Jewish community, that were lined up with the king, King Herod, and his ilk, who were very interested in making sure that the will of the governor of Rome was being carried out in the place of the people. So you have this church that is lined up with the civil powers, and it's rather speaking the same voice. It's giving the same message. It's giving a message that if you want to be safe, you do what we tell you. If you want to be safe, you love who we tell you to love, and you hate who we tell you to hate. If you want to be safe, you take your cue from those of us who are the power, and we use you to force our will upon the population. And Jesus says, yeah, when you find yourself in that situation, when you're being persecuted because of my name, when you're being drawn into the church, Christendom, when you're being drawn into the prison of the king and the governor and the emperor, when they are trying to lock you up and silence you, then Don't even think about what you're going to say in your own defense, because I will give you the word to speak, and that word will be the truth. And that truth will be so powerful that none can argue with it. And they might hurt you. They might damage your bodies. But trust, not a hair on your head will be diminished in the eyes of God. And in enduring their brutality, you will make safe your souls. So interesting dilemma, right? That if I don't know who it is to trust, and if it seems like sometimes the church and the powers of evil are all speaking with the same voice, a message we hear over and over again in our scriptures is as religious community becomes commandeered by political power, and then is asked or forced to speak the same message, and oftentimes a message that is brutal to the people who God loves. That as we find ourselves in a world that seems in some ways to just be going totally asunder, as we have our impeachment hearings and we have these divisions between the right and the left, and we have divisions between Christians and Muslims, and we have divisions between Hindus and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists, and we see all of these different ways that people are trying to identify themselves and be able to step into using the power that is available to crush those who think differently. As we find ourselves living in that world yet again, we are invited by Christ to just show up with our lives. If you were on trial for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? What does that look like? What does it look like to be a person of God in a world that speaks, can I dare say, in a world that loves to take the name of God in vain and use the name of God in order to justify the most inhumane, the most brutal of actions towards sisters and brothers who are enlivened by the very breath of God that we all share? How do we, in a world that so wants to judge us, live in such a way that if our lives were on trial, they would know that we are representatives of the real God who we know in Jesus Christ? If we were on trial for being Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Do we feed the hungry? Do we clothe those who are naked? Do we give drink to those who are thirsty? Do we visit those who are imprisoned and hospitalized and sick? Do we create a community that builds hope for the best possibility of each person that is part of our community? Do we hold the value of God's breath and sisters and brothers who we don't know, who live in different places and worship God in ways that we don't understand? Do we as God's people hold the preciousness of the breath of life sufficiently dear to have evidence that would convict us of loving beyond the boundaries, of sharing our hopes and our resources and our love beyond the definitions of our in-group? Do we have the ability to receive God's word and to live God's word in the actions of our lives this week, this day? Can we be convicted of being God's people who are doing God's work in our community? Let us pray. Lord, this passage, this mini apocalypse, this idea that sometimes being your people and doing your love in the world and standing for those who don't have the power to stand for themselves, that somehow that could leave us suspect in the difficulties of a world that judges sometimes off of values that you would not affirm. It is the world that you have given us, the world into which you have called us. It is a world in which you invite us to live out our faith, to show up each day in our own lives, and in the place we find ourselves to live the love that we have received from you. May we have the courage to be your people, to love without ceasing, and to hold firm to the hope that is ours in your name. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.